Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. Several years ago, I had the opportunity to go to Turkey, which was absolutely awesome. It was my first time ever and only time ever to be able to travel out of the country. And there were things that I had to do to prepare for this trip, and one of them was physical. I had to get used to wearing my new hiking boots, for one. And then I had to get used to wearing a camel pack filled with water on my back. And I needed to do this and walk 6 miles without getting out of breath. So I had to start training, getting ready for this trip. And so I started out with just wearing the boots and working on my momentum and how far I could walk without being out of breath and how fast I could walk. And then I added the camel pack filled with water. And I looked like a total goob out in my little residential area with the sidewalks, most of the ground level. We had a couple of little bitty hills, but not anything that would really require any hiking boots or a camel pack. But there I was, out there for a couple hours a day, getting up to my 6 miles. I remember being in Turkey and climbing up that first little mountain. It was something between a hill and a mountain. It wasn't a full-fledged mountain, but then it wasn't really a hill either. It was somewhat steep and extremely rocky. And we're all marching, well, not really even marching, huffing and puffing up this not quite a hill, not quite a mountain. Rocks were rolling under my feet, learning how to place my feet in safe places as we moved up this not quite a hill, not quite a mountain. Looking up, going, how much further? You know, you remember, you know, those kids, you hear them, how much longer? How much further? Some of that escaped out of our minds. I know for the rest of us, it was going through our head as we were walking up this steep climb. I looked over at one of my friends. I was with a group of clergy. There were 14 of us, and I look over at one of my friends, and he is gasping for air. The air was becoming thinner as we continued to climb, and he had asthma. And so we would stop, and we would wait for him to catch his breath. And then we would go back to our climb, and my body was screaming at me. It was nothing, nothing, nothing like walking in my residence as I made this climb. Finally, we made it to this little area where there were bigger rocks where we could actually sit on the rocks. We didn't make it to the summit. And, you know, my expectation, was that we would find some kind of ruins up here, because that's what it was all about. We were going to ancient cities to walk where Paul walked. And I'm like, where are they? There's nothing. Are we supposed to see them at the distance? Are we going to finish climbing up the mountain? I didn't really know what to expect. And so we sat there, and our teacher began to teach us But I remember how hard that climb is. I remember somewhat about the teaching, but mostly when I think about that day, I think about all that walking, all that preparation. And I'm so glad I did that preparation for that day, because I can't imagine how hard it would have been if I would not have done the preparation. One of my friends did not do the preparation. He did not break in his boots. He did not take the walks. His feet were covered in blisters after that day, and that was only day one of the hiking. Preparation is extremely important for the journey that we're on. And we're journeying together. We're journeying in community. We're there to help each other along, to advise one another. When one of us is stuck in a place having problems breathing, we stop and we help one another. My other friend who had all the blistered feet, his wife was going, "I told you so," all the way back down the mountain when we headed back down. Today, in today's scripture, we see Jesus and some of his closest disciples journeying together up a mountain. They have no idea what to expect. They don't know what they're looking for. Jesus doesn't prepare them. He just says, "Take this journey with me." All in the Gospel of John, his invitation is always, "Come and see. Come and see." So they went up this climb. They probably were used to climbing, unlike I was. And as you do it within the 10 days I was in Turkey, I was actually probably in the best condition in my life, where it became easier and easier. But the climb isn't always easy. They made it up to the summit, and all of a sudden, everything changed for them. Something that was revealed to these disciples that they never, ever expected. The glory of Jesus was revealed to them. This scripture is called the Transfiguration of Christ. We usually celebrate it in August. That's when the feast day is for Transfiguration. And that's where it is placed in the liturgical calendar. But we're looking at it here in Lent for several reasons. Number one, it's because it's in your devotional. And it's not too late to pick one up if you haven't. We still have some. Second is that it shows kind of a prelude to the resurrection. That there's heaven and earth colliding in this one person, Jesus. And on this mountain, what these three disciples witness, not only Jesus glowing bright white in all of his glory, but then these two individuals who are extremely famous to them, who are the epitome representations of the law and the prophets, Moses and Elijah, show up. Now, in their culture, the Sadducees and the Pharisees were constantly debating whether the resurrection was real or not. Did people live on after death? That was a huge question for them. And here they were, Elijah and Moses, who had been long gone for generations and generations, beside Jesus. We don't really have any record of what they were talking about, but it was utter proof to the disciples that there was life after death, that the resurrection itself was real. Peter gets extremely excited, like we all do at those summit moments where we are, life is good and we feel close to God and we think, "Oh, wouldn't it be great to stay here in this place? You know what? I'll build you a couple of homes. We'll stay here. We'll be a happy family. It's an invitation to stay on Peter's part. But when these words are uttered out of Peter's mouth and he's making these plans, his response to what he has witnessed, as if it wasn't enough to see Jesus glow and see two dead men, the heavens open up and the voice of God says, "This is my son, my beloved, whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Listen to him. The disciples fall down in fear, as if the other two incidents, Jesus glowing and seeing dead people, isn't fearful enough. They are struck by it. They are struck with absolute awe. It isn't long after this that Peter pronounces who Jesus is. Jesus says, who am I? Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Jesus says, you are the Messiah. You're the Son of God. Peter, this incident forms who they are. For us, we struggle with what to do with the transfiguration because we live out in the resurrection, right? We know the end of the story. We know the end of the story and what it means for us. But think back for the disciples before the resurrection of Jesus. That day, those three with Jesus went back down the mountain. And Jesus asked them to be quiet for what they saw because they didn't quite understand it. And Jesus starts preparing them for his death. But can you imagine going to the cross? Imagine going to the cross with no knowledge of the resurrection. None whatsoever. That there is just death. And that's it. That's it. With that understanding, that absolute utter loss, that absolute utter hopelessness, that's the end of it. The end of that life that was experienced. Then you realize the power of the transfiguration for those disciples. Because it was a prelude to the resurrection for them. They went to the cross with some kind of knowledge that there was something extremely glorious and powerful and wonderful about Jesus that was preparing them for what would happen 3 days after the crucifixion. That's the power of the transfiguration. But there is another for us here today. And that is the beauty of heaven and earth colliding in Jesus Christ. And that collision lives on within us through the power of the resurrection. Just as Jesus was transfigured and the disciples got to see his outward glory, we too are traveling together in a community as the body of Christ, headed towards a deeper transformation, even before we ever get to taste the resurrection, life after death. That a taste of heaven is experienced here, now, today, in this place. We feel it in times of absolute joy, when we feel closest to God, maybe when we're in a circle discovering scripture together. Maybe it's when we've seen God see us through a dark valley and we're finally climbing up the mountain again to reach the summit. Maybe it is those times of the summit You know, life is a roller coaster ride a lot of the time. There's lots of highs and lows. And there's times when we do really do taste heaven sometimes. The birth of a child. Times when there's great success, when we know God's been working, when somebody's been healed. Physically, maybe. Emotionally, maybe. Spiritually, maybe. We see lives transformed and changed. And we know it's by the power of God. So we journey as the body of Christ, moving towards our own transformation, that the glory of God is being revealed within us, that what the disciples saw outwardly in Jesus is going on as an inward grace within us, that we're being changed from the inside out. There's some other scriptures that point to the transfiguration, memories of the actual disciples. Peter says this in 2 Peter. He says, where did it go? Here it is. First of all, let me start here. Verse 19. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart. He says, for Jesus received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory saying, this is my son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. He writes about his own memories of this. And he says, be very careful which voice you listen to. The voice of heaven says, listen to him. We're crowded with all kinds of voices in this world, as Jessica pointed out earlier to the kids. All kinds of voices of this world. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We talked last week about how confusing paths can be, how truths can get twisted in this world because of our own brokenness and the brokenness of people around us. We'll make bad choices. The people around us will make bad choices. We'll go looking to fill our aching holes in all the wrong places. But that one small, still voice, that's the voice to listen to. That's the voice that leads to fulfillment and wholeness and healing. That voice does not come from this world. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. Paul writes this. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. These verses talk about our own transformation from one degree to the next, from the smallest of degrees to the bigger, larger degrees. that we are being changed. Now, John Wesley said this about transformation. We are not spiritually stagnant. We are either growing or we are losing ground in our faith. We're either moving forward or we are moving backwards. We're either working towards our relationship with God or we aren't. And know what happens when we aren't? We move backwards. There's no holding ground by doing nothing. There's no staying level, staying the same. There's no, well, I guess you could flatline in your faith by doing nothing. Right? We have to work at growing and transforming, partnering with God. God will do so much with us, wooing us into relationship, inviting us, allowing us to accept. But a lot of the work is within us, climbing the mountain, training to climb the mountain, training for transformation, and gaining it inch by inch when we arrive at that place and glory is revealed to us. And I'm not talking about life after death. I'm talking about here, now, today. That heaven is meeting earth every single day. But we have to open the eyes of our soul to be able to witness it, to be blessed by it, to accept it. We will see it in ourselves, we will see it in the people around us, and we will gain strength by strength by strength to run the race and persevere with whatever curveballs this world throws at us. But that transformation, I'm going to tell you, you want it. After that day in Turkey, boy, was I sore. Good heavens, good God Almighty, I did not want to roll out of my bed. But I did. It's because we climbed even bigger mountains. We saw some amazing summits. We were at the Acropolis in Ephesus, looking down on the city. The Acropolis was the highest point of a city. And to be able to see all the ruins and this landscape down there and imagine what was. And then there were times when God was so good to us that we got to get in a little trolley on the little wire and we got to be moved onto the summit. That was awesome. And sometimes God does that for us as well and makes the journey so much easier. The transfiguration, it's a prelude to what is coming. Jesus glowing in glory is an outward sign of an inward grace that we are capable of containing and housing because we contain and house the Spirit of the Lord. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. So your homework this week, last week, it was just to rest in the Spirit and be in the Spirit. That God would reveal how God sees you. That practice was probably hard because we are doers. I know when I was learning, and I still have problems meditating because you think, how do I do meditation? You don't. There's no doing meditation. There's no how to do meditation. It's a being. It's a state of being. It's an acceptance of who you are. And to just let be and let God be. And to let go in the moment so that God can take over. It's surrender. It's absolute surrender to the moment and to the Spirit. That's what meditation is. You can't just do it like you do the dishes or you go to work and you do your job. It's not the same thing. So your homework this week is to continue on that path of surrender. To allow God to reveal God's self to you. That in those moments, to let God's still small voice rise up in you. To practice quieting all the other voices around you. Like that stadium that Jessica was alluding to earlier at the game. All the crowd, the world is roaring. There's so much noise. And it can drown out the person that you're supposed to be listening to. It takes training to get to the summit. It's time to put on the hiking boots, put on the camel pack, and look like a goofball as you walk in your own neighborhood. To do what seems impossible. To listen to for some other voice that you've probably heard and not thought, what was that? I'm hearing voices. I must be crazy. I can't tell anybody about this. But that still small voice, learning to listen will bring peace and will bring guidance. Sometimes it will feel like intuition. Sometimes it will feel like gut instinct. But just to let it be and not run it off. That's your goal this week. It's to surrender. So that we can move degree by degree by degree to our own transformation. And that the power of Christ gets stronger and stronger within us as we move towards our relationship with God and not backwards. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.